Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Siegel, and today we'll be studying the 14th Mizmor of the Book of Tehillim, Mizmor Yud Dalet. Lamenatzeach le David, for the conductor by David, Amar Naval Bilibo, Ein Elokim. Naval said in his heart that there is no God. And this is a song about Naval, or about the Naval. And the pasuk continues describing Naval, Hishchisu, Hisivu, Alila, Ein Ose Tov. They are corrupt. They lust for evil. None do any good. Okay, who is Naval? So the term Naval denotes a fool. Someone who, as the Medrash Shochar Tov explains, allows his emotions and fleeting desires to dictate his actions. Amar Naval Bilibo, meaning his heart controls him, instead of him elevating himself above his base instincts. In essence, when someone is so consumed by hedonistic pursuits, they disregard God, and they can also easily become cruel. And we'll see that as well. Let's look further at this idea, Naval. Moshe, in Parshas Hazinu, his swan song to the Jewish people, addressed the future danger that could occur. The Jewish people could become an Am Naval Velo Chacham, a withered nation lacking wisdom. And Rashi explains there in Parshas Hazinu that the word Naval means ungrateful. When people fail to appreciate what God has done for them, they give in to their immediate desires and emotions, and they distance themselves from God, ultimately making foolish, wrong decisions. And notice that this follows the end of Perek 13, Yud Gimel, where we say, "And I trust in your kindness." The Naval does not say, "And I trust in your kindness." He doesn't see the kindness of Hashem. Similarly, Naval can also be translated as disgusting, as in Nevela, as a dead body. The Ramban, in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, introduces a term, Naval Birshus HaTorah, a person who acts disgusting in the framework of the Torah, meaning he doesn't transgress any laws, but his behavior is certainly repulsive, such as gluttonous eating or drinking in excess. Of course, everything he takes in is kosher or maybe even mahadran, but it's done in such a self-serving manner. So when a person acts in such an unrefined manner, it shows a lack of recognition that God is looking down at him. Just like the Am Naval isn't appreciative of God, the Naval, the disgusting person, doesn't realize that Hashem is looking at him. Rabbi Hirsch explains the Naval to be one who is withered. It's a concept of one who has lost his moral strength. And I'm quoting Rav Hirsch, and I quote, "Like a withered leaf, he has become the plaything of influence from within and without. He has lost his free moral self-determination and thus has forfeited the divine spark within him." You get the idea of a Naval personality? Our rabbis explain that Naval is not necessarily just a personality, but a person himself. The Medrash on the second version of this song in Psalm 53 in Tehillim Nun Gimel says that Naval is not only a concept but actually refers to the foolish and evil Naval that was so ungrateful to David and his men. And I'm going to share a little bit of the story of Naval here in this version of the song. Naval, which we will see was aptly named as he certainly was a foolish ingrate, he had many shepherds in the desert of Paran. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep. Now David, who was in that very desert at the time running away from Shaul, he and his entourage of 400 men helped protect the animals and their shepherds. When Naval celebrated his sheep shearing festival, David sent some of his men to ask for food as they were very much in need of food, and Naval had so much. Naval pretended that he didn't know what David had done and refused to give his men anything, which made David very upset. But nonetheless, Abigail, the wife of Naval, recognized that they should give food to David. And without the knowledge of her husband, Naval, she sent food to David and his men. When Neville found out the next day what Abigail, his wife, had done, he was so upset that he had a heart attack and died 10 days later. So you see, Neville was a very ungrateful person. The Medrash continues and says that Neville, spelled backwards, is Lavan, who, like Neville, acted in self-serving, cunning ways. Rashi and Radak explain that Neville, in this song, is a person. It's referring to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, the evil Babylonian king who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash and mercilessly exiled the Jewish nation. In the second version of the song, Nun Gimel, which is almost identical to this one, as we've said before, Rashi says that the Neville there is referring to Titus from Rome, who ruthlessly destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and killed so many of our nation. So David is clearly aggravated with this Neville and wants to understand how he can cope and strengthen himself in the face of such an evil person and in the face of people who act in this way of being an Neville, an ungrateful personality. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Hashem mishamayim hishkif al bnei adam, liros hayesh maskil, doresh es Elokim. David continues and says, Hashem looks down from the heavens onto mankind to see if there is any person who is wise, who searches for God. When we see foolish, egotistical people around us, it may be hard for us to see God. But God sees us. He looks down, and the pasuk tells us God looks down for that one person who's acting with wisdom, who sincerely wants to act with integrity, and who looks to God for direction. Unlike the Neville, who just does what they want in the moment, God looks for the person who really wants to do the right thing and thinks beyond his personal interests right now. Pasuk 3. However, what happens? Pasuk Gimel. Hakol sar yachdav ne'elachu, eino setov, ein gam echad. They've all gone astray. They've all become corrupted. There is no one that does good. No, not one. There is no one left who is good anymore. Is everyone just so self-absorbed? Is our society so hedonistic? Sometimes we think that maybe it is the case. Pasuk 4. Pasuk Dalet. Halo yadu kol pale aven ochle ami achlu lechem Hashem lo karau. Do all evildoers have no knowledge, who eat up my people like they eat bread and call not on Hashem? They don't call out to Hashem. And here we give voice to God. It's God speaking to the Nevels in the society or to the specific Nevel. You think that you can hurt others with the same ease that you eat bread? Are you so callous about others' lives, health, finances, and feelings? You don't consider what God wants you to do, what's morally correct. You don't call out to God. Alternatively, you can read this pasuk like the Mitzvot David. Don't you evil ones realize that the only reason that you were able to consume the Jewish nation was because they, the Jewish people, didn't call out to Hashem? And the Ibn Ezra adds, it isn't your strength that enabled you to devour the Jewish people like bread. Didn't you realize that your victory was because I, Hashem says, I allowed you to hurt my people? Because in their own way, they were also like a Neville and they didn't seek me out. So you're confused. Is the Neville referring to evil, tyrannical kings of other nations? Or is the Neville referring to people in the Jewish nation who are more interested in their own self-indulgence? Yes and yes. Let's see. Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Sham pachadu fachad, ki Elokim bedor tzadik. There they will be struck with fear, for God is with the righteous. They will recognize that their immoral pursuits won't serve them. Rabbi Hirsch explains that when nations persecute the Jewish people, their very survival affirms that Am Yisrael Chai. It's in these moments of persecution specifically that the world, or specifically the evil nations that are hurting us, the Neville, unmistakably realize the hand of Hashem. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6, Atzas ani tavishu ki Hashem machsehu. You shame the poor man's counsel. What's their counsel? That God is his refuge. But, Pasuk 7, Pasuk Zion, Mi yitein mitzion yeshuas Yisrael, b'shuv Hashem shvus amo, yagel Yaakov yismach Yisrael. May it be that the salvation of Israel will come out of Tzion. When Hashem restores the captivity of his nation, Yaakov will rejoice, Israel will be happy. In the previous pasuk, we talk about the poor man as being shamed. Now those poor people will be happy, for clearly God is his refuge. May it be that the salvation will soon come. Let's analyze this pasuk further. And many of you are particularly familiar with this verse because there's a custom to say this pasuk after the recitation of Tehillim. We translated Mi Yitein according to the Metzudas David, which is, may it be that. Rashi translates it as, when God brings salvation, etc., the nation will be happy. So Mi could be may it be, Mi could be when. But the technical translation of me is who, or whom, who. Who from Tzion is going to bring salvation to Israel? So Rabbi Hirsch explains that people are so focused on themselves and that what we can do. And now we say, who do you think is really going to save us? Like in a rhetorical manner. The same one who has saved us in the past. It's God. Even though Israel, which may now seem poor, as we read in the previous pasuk, they're dependent on other nations. However, we know that ultimately God will save us and we will be our own sovereign nation under God. That is our destiny. I'd like to explain this further. In pasuk Beis, verse 2, God is looking towards the earth to find someone who is seeking him, someone who wants to strengthen his relationship with God by working towards becoming the person that God wants him to be. And so Rabbi Hirsch describes the person who is not a Naval, who is the person that God wants him to be. And I quote, what makes him similar to God is the ability to say no to evil, despite all its glamour. It is his joyous determination to say yes to all that's good, regardless of the hardship and sacrifices involved, unquote. It seems that God isn't finding anyone like that, and as a result, the evil ones are consuming us, and they behave in a manner that demonstrates their feeling that God doesn't exist, as we see in Pasuk 4, Pasuk Dalet. That's the world in which we live, no? So, based on a thought of the Chasam Sofer, let's look at the pasuk a little bit differently. Perhaps this pasuk is alluding to the idea that Hashem will bring salvation when we overcome the Naval within ourselves, when we appreciate that God is present and does so much for us, when Yaakov and Yisrael will rejoice with what God gives us, even in the moment. So at the end of the song, we ask, who is going to give of themselves to work to bring salvation? Who really wants the salvation? Or is everyone just okay with the society as it is now? Let's look at the word Tzion. The word Tzion designates the site of the Beis HaMikdash or Jerusalem, Yerushalayim. And the reason they're called Tzion is because Tzion literally means a marker, a signpost of holiness. And in this song, Israel is described as being from Tzion because its people recognize and appreciate the presence of Hashem. They see Hashem's mark in this world. When one perceives Hashem's presence, they can more easily set aside self-gratifying impulses. When they focus all their efforts to doing God's will, they will partner with God, so to speak, to end the captivity and bring all the Jewish people back to Tzion, the true place of Kedusha, of sanctity. So when we read in the last verse, Pasuk Zion, may it be that the salvation will come from Tzion, we can read it as, from whom or because of whom will the salvation come from Tzion? Certainly, the salvation will come from Hashem. But when I say that who, Mi Yitein Tzion, I can answer that it will come through me as well. I will do what I can now to bring the salvation. and that knowledge in itself brings me joy. So while we begin this song addressing the Naval and feeling that there's no one left in the world who's not a Naval or doesn't exhibit those characteristics, at the end of the song, Mi Yitain, who will be left to work with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to work with God? And I answer myself. I will be the one who is not the Naval. And when you think like that, you'll start seeing a lot of other people around you as well who will join you. May these words of Tehillim inspire us to do our part now to work with God, to bring our hostages home, bring our incredible soldiers home in good health, and that all of Klal Yisrael will celebrate only salvations. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmot, Helen Moskowitz, and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sheiris HaPleita. Their faith in the power of Tehillim is inspirational to this day, sponsored by their grandchildren Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.